Hebrews chapter 11, we can read again at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Seeking the Lord's help, I want to focus on verses 24, 25 and 26. We looked at verse 23 this morning, and we saw there Moses' privileged position, that he had believing parents. We saw that they were convicted by God. And as a consequence of being convicted by God of God, they had confidence in God. And as a consequence of their confidence in God, they consecrated Moses to God. We don't know if he was consecrated to God before his birth, if they were praying parents, if they committed the unborn child to the care of their Maker. But we know that certainly from his birth, they consecrated their precious child into the care of Almighty God. And we see that in that they would have circumcised him on the eighth day. Now, I know the scripture doesn't tell us about that act of circumcision for Moses, but it is safe for us to assume that, because we see that Pharaoh's daughter recognized him to be a Hebrew child. This was the clear mark that this was a Hebrew child. But not only that, later on, Moses himself, as a father, he's rebuked by God because he has not circumcised his sons. But there was no question about his being uncircumcised. He was consecrated. That was worked out in his circumcision. But it wasn't limited to his circumcision. His parents had the opportunity to teach him when he was young. We don't know for how long he was in his parental home. Remember, Pharaoh's daughter asked Moses' own mother to raise him. But we're told that when he came to age, he was brought into the house of Pharaoh. Maybe he wasn't long with his own parents. And his own parents were able to instruct him, but they were uneducated, certainly in terms of the education that the Egyptians had, with all their great wisdom and learning. And yet his parents, by God's grace, were able to establish in Moses an understanding of who God is and of who he himself was to be. We have to understand that he was the son of many prayers. And even though they no longer had him in their household, they would be praying for him and crying out to God. He was consecrated, and there was a giving of him to God again and again. And if you're a parent tonight, I want to encourage you in that, of your responsibility and your privilege of being able to consecrate your children, of giving them in over to and into the care of God. And some of you are parents, but your children are not children. They're adults. They're away from home. They themselves are parents. Some of them even are grandparents. And yet you are able to continue to give them to God in prayer. They are, as adults, beyond your control. They have their own homes. They make their own decisions. They live their own lives. They're beyond your control, but they're not beyond the reach of God's grace. Pray. Pray to the God who has given you that he would receive from you and he would show his mercy to them and bring them in the fullness of time to rejoice in him. We don't know if Moses' parents lived to see the change that came about in Moses. We don't know if they lived to see him stand as a man of God and be counted as a man of God. It's quite possible that they didn't. I might even say it is probable that they didn't. But that is what happened. God blessed the influence of his home. And I want for us to look this evening at Moses' faith. We're told it's by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was like many of you, brought up in a Christian home, given to God, consecrated to God. In many ways, that's what you see in baptism. Doesn't make you a Christian, the fact that you're baptized as a child. No, you must believe. But baptism, it shows not only that you have been given by parents to God, but rather that Christ, in calling for you to be baptized and making provision for you to be baptized, is ready to receive you. He sets a claim upon you and he promises spiritual blessing, privilege and blessing. You must believe. It doesn't absolve you from personal responsibility. Rather, it emphasizes your personal responsibility. Just as Moses was marked as one of the children of Israel, and as a consequence of that mark, was called to live for the glory of God. But after a short time at home, Moses was brought into a new home. Moses was taken out of one world and lived in another world. And he lived, imagine, he lived as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think of the wealth and the splendor of Egypt. You may be fascinated by ancient Egypt and the learning and the achievement of that society. And you wonder, what would it have been like to see Pharaoh and all the military might and all the splendor of that civilization? Moses was there in the midst of it, not as a spectator from afar, but as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had to make a choice. Which world did he belong to? And it's the same choice that you must make. Which world do you belong to? Do you belong to the people of God? Do you belong to the church of Jesus Christ? Or do you belong elsewhere? You know, this is a choice that you must make. This is a decision that you must reach. No one else can do this for you. The influence of Moses' own home was gone. He was separated from his parents. He was separated from his siblings. He was separated from his community. He was given a new identity, and the whole world was placed before him. He was ushered into a world that we cannot imagine. He was ushered into the world that so many people would dream of. And in the midst of that, he had to make a choice. And it's the same choice that you must make. And it comes down to this. Who are you? Who are you? Really, your heart of hearts, your innermost being. Who are you? You know, his name was chosen and given to him. We're told it's Pharaoh's daughter who gave him his name. She called him Moses because he was drawn out of the water. Remember, she sent her maid, and her maid took the little ark out of the water. They found this baby. But it's not about your name. That's not your identity. It's about something that is more fundamental than that. You know, people may give you many names. But who are you? What will you be? We're told that when Moses was come to years, that could be translated was grown up. When Moses was grown up, it literally means when Moses was made great. That suggests he'd reached maturity, but also it maybe hints at the influence and the opportunity that he had as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Here was a key that would unlock every door. When Moses was made great, when Moses was given, as it were, the whole world at his feet, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a choice, and it's the same choice that you must make. Will you stand up and stand apart from the world around you? Will you stand up and stand apart from, it appears, everyone else? Pharaoh's daughter, remember, she was inquisitive. She sent her maid to bring the little boat, the little ark, to the shore, out of the reeds. She saw the infant. And we're told that the baby, he cried. And obviously her heart moved. She understood this was a Hebrew child, and yet she had compassion on him. Pharaoh's daughter, she seems to be a tender-hearted, a benevolent woman. She adopts this child, brings him in. She nourishes him. The issue isn't Moses rebelling against her or rejecting her. But the issue is that he will be known as a child of God. He will identify with the people of God. He will not stand apart. And so he positively resists and he positively rejects the identification of Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to make himself at home. And sometimes you're welcomed into someone's house and they might say, "Now make yourself at home. This is at your disposal. Act as if this is where you belong. Take what you want. Enjoy what you'd like." And that's the opportunity that Moses was given. With all the wealth of Egypt and he refused to be at home. And that's significant, and that's important, because the kingdom of God does not allow dual citizenship. You know, you can be a citizen in the UK and also be a citizen somewhere else. You can have dual citizenship. Many nations where you can be a dual citizen, you can have two passports. You can have a foot in both camps. America. So many people have gone to America and have become American, but really you still hold to the identity of the old world. They're Scots. Lots of people are proud to be Scots, but they're American. Or they're Irish. Or they're German. Or they're Italian. Or they're Chinese. And yet they're American. And so they have this dual citizenship. But the kingdom of God doesn't allow dual citizenship. Moses couldn't be both. He couldn't be the son of Pharaoh's daughter and one of God's people. And you can't be at home in this present world and live for all that this present world offers and be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. There's no middle way. You're either for him or you're against him. There is no middle way. As a child, you're a child. You don't make choices, you don't make decisions, but there comes a point where you must make a choice. Don't doubt there was a temptation for Moses to deny his origins, temptation to cut his ties, to renounce the shame and the poverty. Perhaps there's a temptation to try to rationalize that. He could be sympathetic toward the Israelites, but work on the inside. He could be an influence for good. But he didn't give in to that temptation. Rather, he made the choice to resist and to reject that identity and to be known as one of the children of God. Now, we're not told what the trigger was. We're not told what brought him to that point of crisis. In Exodus chapter 2, we're told in verse 11 that there was a day when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. He went out to see the children of Israel. But why did he go out to see the children of Israel, his brethren? Because they were his brethren. So maybe this choice predated that. He went because he had made this choice. He was resented. He was resented by the children of Israel. Remember that time when he went to go to see their burdens? He was outraged by the way that they were treated. There was an Egyptian overseer who was abusing an Israelite. And so Moses stood up to defend him. And the man was killed. They buried him in the ground. And the next day he went back and he saw two Israelites arguing. And he said, "Stop that." And they said, "Who do you think you are? Who made you a king or a ruler over us? You're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday." Perhaps they despised his privileged position. They despised Moses because he had avoided the burdens and the misery that they had endured. And yet regardless, Moses chose to identify with the people of God than to accept the pleasures of sin for a season. whatever the trigger was, we know what the cause of that choice was. What was the cause of him making that choice? Why did he make that choice? It's because of faith. That's why. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, faith, he knew who he was, and he knew who he was to be, and he knew who God was. He wasn't enabled to stand apart by force of character or force of personality. Rather, it was his knowledge of God. And he would not deny God. Perhaps he had denied God. Perhaps he had denied God for a significant time. Moses was 40 at this point when he took a stand. He was 40 when he stood apart from the Egyptian household. He was 40 when he stood up for the children of Israel. Perhaps for a long time he had wrestled, for a long time he had denied, for a long time he'd maybe had, as it were, a foot in both camps and had tried that compromise position. But he reached a point where a choice had to be made, and he made that choice. And maybe you too have tried that. You've had a foot in both camps. You've had a sympathy and you've tried to be reasonable and somewhere in the middle. But you know there is a God. And you know the demands of God. That you follow him. That you identify as one of his people. And that you live for his glory. And that you serve him. And therefore you must make a choice. And the choice that you must make is not when you reach 40. The choice you must make is now, is today. For today is a time that you're given. And it's the only time you have. You don't have tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Who are you? Moses made a choice. And you're making a choice today as well. Whether you stand up and clearly articulate it. Whether it's the choice that you ultimately want to make or it's just an interim position, it is a choice. You know, if you say to yourself, not today, not yet, that is a choice. You're saying, I won't have Christ. And maybe you're saying in the back of your mind, but I'll have him later. But if you're saying in your mind, I'll have him later, what you are saying is, I'll not have him today. There is a choice that must be made. There is a choice that is being made. It is an unavoidable choice. Don't try to pretend you don't make a choice. Don't try to pretend that you stand back somehow different. You're either for him or you're against him. There is no middle way. Well, firstly, there is a choice, but secondly, there is a cost. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. A cost. And Moses, in making this choice, he forfeited what we're told is the pleasures of sin. It's interesting, isn't it? The Bible here clearly expresses that sin brings pleasure. And we all know sin is not good. But it is wrong to say that sin is not necessarily pleasurable. There may be certain sins that revile and repulse you. And you see other people who are embroiled in them. And you would never go there. I'm not saying that all sin is pleasurable. I'm not saying that it is a lasting pleasure. But the scripture acknowledges that there can be a pleasure in sin. Now, the problem is not pleasure itself. Pleasure itself is not wrong. The issue for Moses wasn't that everything in Egypt was corrupt and forbidden. The issue was to enjoy these things meant denying God. And that's what made it sinful. The cost was too high. He could have all of this, but to have all of this, he had to deny God. And therefore the cost was too high. He had privilege and he had position. He had power. He had wealth. He had the honour of belonging to the ruling elite. But he forfeited that. He chose rather to suffer affliction. See, it wasn't just that he forwent the opportunity of what may have been pleasurable for a time, but he embraced what certainly would not be pleasurable. He embraced what would be difficult. This is exactly what our Lord speaks about. But in Luke chapter 9, he said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." To suffer affliction means to take up your cross. You're not to go out and to look for trouble. You're not to provoke trouble so that you suffer. You're not to make yourself a social pariah. But there is an inevitable suffering in the life of the Christian by following the way of Christ. And it's called taking up your cross. And that suffering comes from living a life guided by different principles from the world, by choosing what is righteous and rejecting what is wrong, not compromising. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The reproach of Christ. How can Moses esteem the reproach of Christ? Well, we have here in Hebrews the apostle explaining what Moses did in New Testament terms. He would suffer with the people of God. Remember when Saul was persecuting the church and the Lord confronted him on the road to Damascus. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The reproaches that were cast upon a church were cast upon Christ. And so what Moses endured as standing with the people of God is recognized to be the reproaches of Christ. You know, the gospel way is not an easy way, but the Bible never portrays it in a superficial way. It does not say that the life of a Christian is easy. It does not say that it will all be ease and comfort. But rather, what we are promised is that his grace is sufficient, and he who calls you will keep you. He will not forsake you. But there is a cost, and it's important you understand that cost. There is a battle, and it's important you understand there is a battle. There is an easy way and there is a hard way. And the easy way is to go with the flow and to pursue after passing pleasures. some of which you may get your hands upon, many of which will be beyond you, but none of which will satisfy your soul, none of which you'll be able to carry with you. It said that after somebody died, that somebody who knew a little of them asked what they had left, meaning, well, what was their estate? What was their will? What did they do with their wealth? What did they leave behind? And the answer was, they left everything. What did they leave? They left everything. There is a choice that you make. There is a cost to making that choice. Thirdly, there is a consequence. Moses understood that. And he was a man who was confronted with the superficiality of now, the superficiality of power and privilege and prestige. He was a man and he could see through all the honour that could be ascribed to him. Maybe he was sick of it. Maybe he was sick of the hypocrisy of being honoured and knowing that he himself was a sinner. He saw the contrast between this superficial excitement now and the reality of eternity. And perhaps there was also a great conviction of sin, an act of conscience which testified against them. So what, Moses? You can pretend. You can act as if you're part of this great society. You can pretend that you're amongst the pharaohs. But one day you will stand before God and give an account. You know, our Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And that was the consequence that he feared. Moses understood the necessity of making a choice, although there was a great cost, because of the eternal consequences. You know, the Apostle Paul was able to say in Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why was Moses able to lay aside all the treasures of Egypt? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He understood what would follow as an inevitable consequence of the way of life. There'd be a day of judgment. He knew that God had promised blessing to his people, and that blessing was an exclusive blessing only for the people of God. And so he turned his back upon all the wealth and splendour of this present world. It was not an easy way, but it was the only way. You know, friends, the cost of living for today is too high. You might be living for today, and you might be investing only in today, but I want you to understand the cost of that is too high. Can't doubt, but Moses remembered something of his first home and his first mother. He was learned. He'd been educated. He was shown the splendor of Egypt. And yet he knew the contrast between all that education and power and splendor and the simplicity of a home that feared God and of a mother and a father who trusted God and who lived for the promise of God. He saw that worked out, the contrast between these two homes, the contrast between these two mothers. and he sought after God. By faith. By faith. And so the question is tonight, what choice are you making? Who are you? What are you living for? Is your faith in the living God? Or do you place faith in all the promises of this world? Do you place faith in your own ability? Do you place faith in the sophistication of society? Do you place faith in the advance of technology? Moses didn't look at his faith. He didn't step back one day and say, I have faith. You know what he did? He didn't look to himself, but he looked to God. And maybe you today are kind of, you're not stuck in the middle, but you're certainly in a quandary. You're tied in knots. Because you would want to say that your faith is in God, and yet you try to look at your faith, and you're not sure what you're looking at. You're not sure what to make of it. Sometimes it seems to be promising, and other times it seems to be withered and not there. But if that's what you're doing the wrong thing. You're not to look at your faith, however great or however small you might think it to be. You're not to look to your faith, but you're to look to the Lord himself. The question isn't, do you have faith? Rather, the question is this. Is God able to do what God has promised to do and to do it for you? Is God able? Not, are you able? But is he able? And will you trust him? Will you trust him? You know, there are some who would say that they long to be a child of God, and yet they're unable to do what Moses did, which was to refuse and to renounce a completely different identity. And the inability to refuse and to renounce, the inability to let go of today, comes from an inability to acknowledge that God is able to give tomorrow. And that's why the question isn't, or that's why what you're to do isn't to look to yourself, but to look to God. Because the question is he able to give you tomorrow? Is he able to cleanse you from sin, to give you a new heart? Is he able to transform you by grace? Is he able to work a great work? He tells us he is able. The scripture is full of examples of individuals in whom he has done this great work. But are you ready to receive that? Are you ready to submit to that? Do you believe? Do you take hold of him as he offers himself to you in the gospel? Moses had faith. He believed what was told him. He believed what he had heard concerning God. Do you believe what you hear? Do you believe what you know? Are you willing to find out more? We're told faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And if you struggle to say that you have faith, then what must you do? You must hear the word of God and study the Word of God and call upon God to give you clarity and understanding. You know, it says in Galatians that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, what you invest in is very revealing. And if you invest in everything else, but give little time or no time to the things of God, to studying the Word, to hearing the Word, to understanding the Word, to seeking faith, or seeking God by faith, you will not reap life everlasting. Well, friends, you're making a choice. The question tonight is, are you making the right choice? Or do you need to make a new choice? If you've been given to the Lord, consecrated to him by your parents, received by him, embraced within the care of his church, nurtured up under the sound of the gospel, don't renounce that. Don't walk away. Don't depart. But stop and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Do not leave me to develop this other identity and to go on and to be something other than what you would have me to be. And friends, if you've not been brought up under the sound of the gospel, you've not been embraced within the church, do you not yet see that here is the Lord and he calls you to enter in and to become part of this community, to be part of his people through faith in him? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Will you resist and refuse all of that and trust in the living God? Amen. Let's pray.